never fails to amaze me that that on Motzei Tisha B'Av, we get together like this. Hope this will be the last time. But, well, not the last time we get together, but the last time it has to be after Tisha B'Av like we had. No one wants to go back to business as usual. And we believe very, very much that that it's not too late to turn this thing around. Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud tells us, it's talking about the illness of Chizkiah HaMelech and the Gezeirah that was on him. He saw that he was coming close to the end. His death was about a foregone conclusion. The Gemara tells us there a couple of very powerful Yesodos and Daf Yud. Thinking about tonight, we still haven't said Kiddush Levana, we're still waiting for the clouds to move. We already tried two Rikudim outside, but they obviously were just, they weren't Rikudim that really believed that we could move the clouds. It was just like mimicking a Baal Shem Tov story. But we have to actually believe that we're living a Baal Shem Tov Mais and dance for ourselves to move the clouds, not just in the merit of the story, but maybe we ate something and drank something, we changed our shoes, but it's still that feeling that still in it a little bit. The Gemara tells us, "Afilu cherev chada munach al tzavar shel adam." Even if there's a sharp sword, literally at our throat, al yimna asatzvam in arachamim. Don't hold back from beseeching, from begging God, because it's not too late even in that moment to turn the whole thing around, to change the outcome. There's no such thing, gzeira, where it's a foregone conclusion. Filu cherev chada munach al tzavaro shel adam. There is talking about something very personal. The sickness of Chizkiah HaMelech. There's no gzeira, even though it says it on the calendar, Tisha B'Av. Even though we gave out the list of halachos tonight, we can do tonight because it's a nidche, what we can't do, what we have to wait till tomorrow to do. It's not too late to turn it around. What Gemara is telling us is that there's no such thing as Yirsh. Yirsh doesn't exist. It's not a... Rabbi Nachman was the interpreter of that. Rabbi Nachman was the one who is delivering that to every crevice of our being and driving that message home. But it's a Jewish idea. It's a cornerstone of our belief. It's never too late to wake up Rachamei Shemayim. Pearl Banish, not Pearl Banish, Mrs. Banish. What's that? Vanksha Dragon. And Mrs. Khan, Dvor Khan knows her. Takes their kid, her grandchildren to visit her. Mrs. Banish, one of the original students, who was in the original Beis Yaakov in Krakow, in Poland. She was born and raised in Krakow, a student of Sar Schneer, Alea Shalom. Zechusay again, Aleinu. Shut amazing books, memoirs, stories of what it was like as a young girl in Beis Yaakov, what it was like in Poland before the war, during the war. To vanquish the dragon, carry me in your heart. I mean, very, very powerful stuff. She describes, I even heard online something we were discussing once. You can read interviews online also. She describes the extraordinary emuna, the extraordinary faith and self-sacrifice that the girls who had learned in Beis Yaakov who were imbued with real Torah values, able to maintain under indescribable circumstances. The memoir is a tribute to the emuna that was maintained under the most unmanageable situations, incredible courage and valor of this group of girls. Called themselves the Zennerschaft. They had a nickname. They had like a little chevra. And they went through the war together. The ghettos, deportations, concentration camps. They were girls 16, 18, 20 years old. And with amazing bravery. Risked their lives to keep mitzvos. To the best of their ability to maintain their dignity, their tzura as Bnos Yisrael, even in the midst of hell. She described how when they got to the camps, they were taken, without going into it, for Kvodom Shel Yisrael, stripped of their identity, their clothing, their outsides, and their hair was shorn. And it was done in the most brutal fashion. Part of the German system was to degrade us in such a way that we'd lose our tzuras adam, we'd lose ourselves. And part of the system of this delousing, cleansing, and preparation to be in the concentration camps was the removal of all externals, all signs of humanity, individuality, and it was done in the most horrific ways. So Mrs. Banish describes how she was with a group of girls online, and forget sensitivity and humanity, it's the way the Germans crushed us. One after the other, be thrown in front of another person, another girl, another woman, who would be doing the shaving. And with such harshness, with such brutality. And the whole time, these girls are trying to share messages with one another. Stay strong, no matter what happens, we're Bas Melech. Take off our clothes, and they could take off all of our signs of sin, but we're still before Hashem. And she described this moment where her friend, one of the girls, was thrown into the seat, knocked around, and they push the head down from behind, take a buzzer and start hacking away. Terrible. And the Germans are around, and the shouting, and it's chaos, tohu vavohu. Friend described how, in the midst of all this, she kind of looked up and caught the eye of the woman behind her, shaving her head. They recognized each other. They're schoolmates in Krakow on the Beis Yaakov. And without saying anything, but just that moment of chibur, that moment of yichud b'ke'ev, seeing one another, maybe remembering who they were and what they were, that something changed. And the girl, the woman who was behind her, stroked her cheek gently and finished the job with a little rachmanas. He said she remembered a teaching that Rabbi Orlian, Hashem Yikom Damo, who was the Mnahel of that first Beis Yaakov in Krakow, said to him. He told the girls, the Gemara in Brachos, Afilu cherev chada, munach atzavar shel adam. Even if there's a sharp sword at your throat, al yimnes atzman arachamim, pshat that we said before is that a person, it's never too late to daven. It's never a foregone conclusion. The gezerah could always change. But even in the gezerah, even when it's not changing, even when the sword is at our throat, al yimnes atzmim and arachamim, Rabbi Orly and Hashem Yikom Domo said, even in the pits of hell, even with our back against the wall under unspeakable, unmanageable circumstances, in a situation that is beyond comprehension, we could always have rachmanos. Al yimnes atzmim and arachamim. We could always have rachmanos on another. We could always have rachmanos on ourselves. But even in the kingdom of night, even in the kingdom of darkness, we could awaken a spark of humanity in the face of unbearable cruelty. We can light a match. We can be ma'orei rachamim. Hope is not an emotion. Rabbi Dr. Benji always says, hope is not an emotion. It's a fact. The night is going to end. We're talking Leil Shabbos. There's an end to all of this. The dawn is going to break. If we remember that, if we know that, whether or not we believe it, that in the end, all of this is going to end up, Kvod Hashem, Alayich Zarach, and we can awaken within ourselves the courage within our suffering, within our pain, to have rachmanis. To not give up on ourselves and not give up on others. Because the churban, no matter how painful it is, and this gullus, no matter how horrific moments of this exile may be, it's not complete and it's not final. The Kliyakar was a successor in Prague to the Maral in the early 17th century. I just want to learn a couple of lines here. Kliyakar's teaching is explaining the promise that the Ribono Shel Olam makes to Avram Avinu. Not made to Avram Avinu, but is making to Avram Avinu. And to all of the descendants of Avram Avinu, to each and every one of us. Hashem is promising Avram Avinu, Kum hitalech ba'aretz, get up, and walk the length and breadth of the land. La'arka l'rachba, its length and its breadth, travel, see Eretz HaKodesh. Ki lecha etenena, because I'm giving it to you. See, you have to know it, you have to see it, experience it. Can't be done with a shaliach. It can't be done by watching, I don't know, Aish videos on Tisha B'Av afternoon. Grasping at straws to try to like connect from the outside, reading our Sheva, whatever. It's good. It's better than not feeling or doing anything. But like Rabbeinu says, Eretz Yisrael is not a place of bechinos. A place of ideas and metaphysical reality, but it's sticks and stones, it's streets and bridges, it's sunsets and hills and mountains, cities. Kum italech ba'aretz la'arka l'rachba ki l'cha etenena, because I'm going to give it to you, u'lezaracha, to us, ad olam. What does it mean, ad olam? What does it mean, ad olam? I learned the graduate school, so let's check for understanding. Ad olam? Huh?
Forever.
Okay. Ad olam?
Forever.
For eternity. Ad olam. Forever and ever and ever. The land of Israel is in a constant state of being given to us. Lecha ulazaracha. Says the Kliyakar. To'eles ruchani zeh. The spiritual intent and purpose of this promise that Hashem is making to Avram Avinu, it's at the top of the page. To'eles ruchani zeh. Lo yasir mizaro ad olam. It's never changing, it's never ending. It's unfolding and continuing. Always. Regardless of the state of affairs in Eretz HaKodesh, pre-state, post-state, in the north and in the south, in Bnei Brak and in Cholom, in Beitar and Rishon LeZion, in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Shiloh, wherever. Lo Yosir Mizaru Ad Olam. Regardless of sovereignty, of statehood, but as eternal reality and fact, there's a spiritual principle at play here called Ad Olam. Hashtag Ad Olam. Ki af bezman shebeis hamikdash shelamata eino bivinyano. The current state of affairs where our temple is not bivinyano, it's not actually built in physical terms, that the gold and silver and copper and stone and marble, there's not kohanim there, and there's not urmatumim there, there's not open prophecy there, there's not Jews schlepping animals up for karbanos. Af bezman shebeis hamikdash shelamata eino bivinyano, mikol makom habeis hamikdash shelamala hamechave negdo nitzchi. Nonetheless, beyond the world of sight, beyond the world of touching, beyond the world of measuring, beyond our physical comprehension, there is a spiritual reality at play called Nitzchius, Ad Olam. The Beis HaMikdash is there. Its essence, that which it represents. Shlomo HaMelech describes in Shir HaShirim what that Beis HaMikdash is. There's all sorts of kelim, appliances, pieces of furniture and equipment, and it's made of gold and silver and marble, and it shines and it sparkles. But that's not the essence of the Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo HaMelech and Shir HaShirim, Tocho Ratzuf Ava. Its insides are suffused with love. There's an unbreakable love between Am Yisrael and Hashem, called Ad Olam, called Nitzchi. Lo Yasir Lo'olam, and that can never be removed. Not by the Romans, not by the Babylonians, not by the Germans, not by the Arabs, Yimach Shemam, not by the United Nations, not the Democrats, not the Republicans, never this one, never that one, who cares? What is the difference? Every moment, in a continuous revelation, in a never-ending influx and expression of Hashem's love for the Jewish people, Shefa, bounty, light, life, vitality, is flowing down from this Beis HaMikdash on high, to Zera Avram HaMekudash, to the elevated and sanctified beloved children of Avram Avinu. A couple lines further, Val Oso Shleimus Amar, regarding that never changing, never ending, always whole kesher between us and the Ribono Shel Olam, Lacha Atenena Ulazaracha Adolam, Ki Shleimus Ruchanizeh Lo Yamush La'olam. It will never change. Like the Kodesh Mitzvah Maggid explains, Etzem Beis HaMikdash was never destroyed. Oz V'Chedva B'Mekomo, Oz V'Chedva B'Mekomo was a reality by the Ribono Shel Olam. Hashem is outside of time and space. In some way, by Hashem, by the Eibishter, the Beis HaMikdash is still happening. It's still going. There's still a Yichud HaShalem by Hashem. And every time there's Shalom Bayis, and every time one person is Mevater to another, and every time there's Shalom between people, every time we get it together, that's called Yichud Kodesh Brichu Shechinte, and we're drawing from that place called Ad Olam. We're living in Mashiach Tzeit. We're living in the reality of Yerushalayim Bivinyana. Rav Yosef Albo lived in the period of the later Rishonim. He was a sage and a philosopher in Spain. Just want to learn this teaching from the Sefer Ikrim together. I want to learn the whole thing. But it's so real. It's so what's happening right now. It discusses the difference between Tchiya versus Yetzira Chadasha. Something which is continuously alive and renewing that which is alive versus bringing something back from the dead. It's in the context of a philosophical discussion, Tchiyas HaMeisim, Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. But understand this inyan, that there will be Tchiya, that there will be a renewal of life from something which is not dead, but something which is alive, just in a different way. If some entity receives an influx of divine light, some vitality that comes from a divine source at one point or another, even once, even for a moment, even though there's a histalkus, there's a removal of that shefa, of that vitality, not like pushing a swing. You stop pushing, but the swing keeps going. Even if the koach, which instilled or imbued that vitality, is no longer present or seen, hine adavra hu yoser mukham shikabel oso pam shenis mima shaya barishona. It's like a physical trainer will tell us. If a person's working out and exercising on a consistent basis, and then falls off for a day, a week, a month, in a certain sense, starting again is not starting from nowhere. There's something there. There's a muscle structure. The body is almost conditioned and knows what to do. It's just getting back to a certain starting point that had already been. The example here is even stronger. And anybody who lights candles in their house, anyone who's busy with Havdalah candles, knows this. We light up some sticks and they burn for a little while, and then we blow it out. Relighting it, rekindling the flame, is very different than trying to light it from the get-go, in the first place. Because it's not starting something new, it's renewing. It's bringing back something to life from a place that it was once alive. Like someone who once received prophecy, and that prophecy was removed from them. What I was in Shana Aleph, what I was in my year in Israel, what I was when I was sitting in Shir, what I was then. Oh, did I learn? Oh, was I on fire? Oh, was my davening good? Oh, did I used to say Tehillim? Whoa, was I so good then? It's not starting something new. It's not bringing back the dead. But it's reawakening that which was alive. It's relighting the wick that was already lit. I was thinking that this might be the yisod of the minig of Shabbos that's brought in the Mishnah Brura. The husband to prepare the lights, his wife to light in the home. You sit there and prepare the wicks, light it and quickly put it out, that it should be ready. For Shalom Bayis, that it should be ready. It's a mashal for Shalom Bayis, v'havein. V'zeki adover shekibel, iza shefel koch olyon. If a structure or an entity received a shefa or koach elyon, was alive with a certain vitality. Af al pishin astalik bimenu hashefa. It's still there. There's still vitality. There's still blood in the veins. In some metaphysical way. Though maybe to the seen eye, it looks like it's done, like it's toast. To start it up again is very different than bringing it back from the first place. And this, Yosef Albo suggests, is what the Gemara in Megillah tells us, based on the pasuk "V'hashimosi es mikdasheichem," that I'll lay desolate your sanctified places, your Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Av kishehein shomamin, even when they're laid bare and desolate, hein b'kdusha son, they still retain their holiness. V'amru tashmishe kedusha nignazin. Tashmishe kedusha, that which is used for a kedusha, the halacha is, we can never throw it away, because it still maintains its kedusha. Nefesh HaChayim, Shar Dalid. The difference between Tashmishe Mitzvah, which are Nizrakin, and Tashmishe Kedusha, which are Nignazin. Tashmishe Mitzvah, something which is used for a mitzvah, for example, checking for understanding, for example, Tzitzis, Talis, a shofar. A shofar breaks, what do you do with it? What's the halacha? Hilchatit. Hilchatit, what happens when we finish using our walls of the sukkah? When it's done. Matzah after Pesach. Pesach night. Tashmishi mitzvah. What's more gewaldic than eating matzah Pesach night to say it? What's more expensive? As soon as it's over, it's done and done. You can take it, you can throw whatever, feed it to the birds. Tashmishi mitzvah nizrakim. But Tashmishe Kedusha, how does the Nefesh HaChaim explain Tashmishe Kedusha? Something that has shaychus to Torah. Tefillin, Sefer Torah. Something that's connected to mezuzah. Something that's connected to Torah has to be nignaz. Has to be buried. There was life in that. There was vitality in that. That lasts forever. Even when it's puzzle, and even when it's done, even when it's over, and even when it's toast, maintains a certain vitality. Says the Ikrim, Zeh b'avur haroshim sh'nishar bohem, me'adavar ha'alohi. There's something godly, there's something divine in there. Shahayu mishkan lo. It was literally a mishkan, it was a vessel, it was a temple, that parchment, that bias of tefillin, that book, was a mishkan, it was a temple for the divine presence. A tashmish, something that was used in order to bring God into the world in a way which is eternal, which is different than a mitzvah, which is l'shaita for a moment. V'chein al zeh derech nemar, and it goes further. It's not just talking about Tashmishe Kedusha that we find in our homes and in our shuls. We're not just talking about the Beis HaMikdash, the temple itself. But like the Nefesh HaChaim explains, every single Jew is a Beis HaMikdash. We said from the Shlach HaKadosh last night, the Kodesh HaKadoshim is found in the seat of the heart of every single one of us. The Luchos and Luchos Shvuros, Kol HaTorah Kula, is found in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, inside of the heart of every single Jewish man, woman, and child, Asher Husham. Vashimosi es mikdasheichem. Even if it appears that it's desolate and destroyed, Af kishein shomimin hein b'kedushasan. There's vitality there. There's a place called Ad Olam. called Nitzchi inside of every single Jew, inside of every place where Torah came into the world, and every place that there is a Yid, there's something called Nitzchias. Because Hashem is there, that's Yichud. V'chein al zeh aderech nemar, sha'guf shahaya mishkan lenefesh, shikoach elyon. A Jewish body, flesh and blood, which is a temple for the nefesh, which itself is a koach elyon, which is a chip off of a divine block, the manifestation of Hashem in the world, afal pi sheteitzei mimenu be'eis hamoves, even though in death there is histalkus, the soul moves on to its next stage in existence, there's a life before we're born, there's the life in the body that we currently are living on Neva Esrim Shana, and then there's life that continues after the body is restored to the earth. Af alpi sheteitzei mimenu be'eis hamoves, kvar nishar bo eizu roshem me'akoach eloki, shekibel rishona. Death does not end the relationship. At death, at histalkus, the relationship between those of us who are left behind and that soul, which has now moved on to the next stage of its existence, that relationship changes. There's great pain in that loss. But there's still a place called Ad Olam. There's still something called Nitzchias. There's still forever. And there, the Beis HaMikdash still stands. And there, the soul is eternal. The etzem, the essence of a person, continues forever. Explains here, this is Yosef Albo, in the period of Rishonim, in the bold, in the bottom of the paragraph, B'sibat zeh, and for this reason, Hushanu mishtatchim be'ez tzar al kivir tzadikim. This is why we go to Kivur Tzadikim. Kimitzad haroshem shenishar ba'atzmos ahem me'aruach ha'aloki shayu mishkan lo. Because even after death, tzadikim b'mitasam nikrim chayim. The righteous are considered alive. Baal Tani explains even more alive than they were when they're in the world. Because when a person's in the world, we're bound by physical time and space. And we have certain realities as a human being that we have to deal with. It might be a darimala, but also a darimata. To eat and sleep. There's being busy with people. Dira b'tachtonim. Uncovering God in the world. But a tzaddik is bound by a physical body. Even though a tzaddik can be poel in many ways, many levels, still, a person is a person. Peoples is peoples. And a human being is a human being. But when a tzaddik leaves the world and moves on to the next stage of existence, he's free to be mispashet, to influence wherever and whenever. And however. That's what the Leshem says in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that in our generation, the name of the Gra, that in our door, Iker Hashras Hashchina is by Kivri Tzadikim. Hem yoter muchanim mezulasam limatzay yaledam hashef aloki. Because it's literally going to the place of Mishkan. Tashmish ekdusha nignazim. Buried because it maintains its vitality. Hushtakai, because the Torah is eternal. Because the Zalacha Ad Olam is there in that place. Seeing that maybe what it means in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Eshkula Misas Tzadikim Kisreifas Beis Elokeinu. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Yirchas tells us that the death of a tzaddik is compared to the sreifa, to the burning of Beis Elokeinu. And to make a diuk without going into it, because it's getting later than I had realized, that's in contrast to a statement in the Medrash, the Alkut Shimoni, that says, Godol silukan shel tzaddikim kichurban Beis Elokeinu. And Chazal are careful with the way they speak. The difference between Shkula Misas Tzadikim and Godol Silukan Shal Tzadikim, and the difference between Sreifas Beis Elokeinu and Churban Beis Elokeinu, has everything to do with the physical body of the Tzadik, and the Eitzim and Avonim of the Beis HaMikdash, and with the truth and the reality that just as the soul continues on to the next world and is Nitzchi, the Beis HaMikdash, as a Toelas Ruchni, Al Yasa Mizaro Ad Olam, the Beis HaMikdash is always standing. Nitzchi. And just like the soul has a continuous Hashra into the world, continuous presence in the world, and is a Mispashet in the world, even after death from this physical reality, the Shefa and the Koach Elyon that comes from the Beis HaMikdash is what gives vitality to our lives and to our mitzvos and shines a light into this exile. Even if we don't see it, sense it, and feel it, it's there. The tzaddik bahalama, the tzaddik in hastara, chibur to the tzaddik on the level of Kodesh HaKadoshim, Lefnai v'lefnim. Let's just learn this Rambam together. Let's daven this Rambam together. The Rambam in the Hilchos and Halachos of Beis HaBechira, and Halachos of the Beis HaMikdash. Keep in mind, when we're learning, Rabbi Simon always points this out, meaning if not 100 times, then maybe 200 times. It's Mishnah Torah, Rabosai. This is a work of halacha. This is a work of halacha. This is not a work of philosophy, not a work of hashkafa. This is not where the Rambam is explaining his philosophical approach to the world. Hilchos Beis HaBechira. In the fourth perek, in the beginning of the fourth perek, painting a picture of what the Beis HaMikdash looked like. Structure of the temple, order of the temple, what it was made of, what was happening there. Evan Haisa B'Kodesh HaKadoshim B'Marava. The western side of the Holy of Holies, there was a great slab of stone. And on that slab of stone, Sha'aleh Haya Aron Munach. The Aron, the Luchos, Shivri Luchos, was resting on there. Lefanav, Tzantzenes Haman. Also in that Holy of Holies was that sample jar of the man. Mata Aron, and the staff that Aaron HaKohen used to show all of Klal Yisrael that Hashem Echa. And at the time when Shlomo HaMelech built the temple, the time when Shlomo HaMelech engineered and oversaw the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, V'yada she'sofo l'charev. And when they were building the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech knew that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. Bana bo makom lignos ba aron lamata b'matmonios amukos v'kalkulos. From the get-go, built into the blueprint, built into the plans, the engineer's plans, the contractors came to build that Beis HaMikdash, was the recognition that that Beis HaMikdash was not going to always stand. Shesofo Lecharev. So Bonobol, he built into it, as part of the temple, Lamata, underneath, V'matmonios, Amukos, V'alkalkalos. A hidden away, secret passageways, twisted and turned under the ground. In other words, Churban and the concealment of the Aron and the Luchos is not an afterthought. It's not, I want to say, but it's not even like a bidyevet. But it's built into the reality of the Beis HaMikdash and built into the life of a Jew serving in the Beis HaMikdash is the Rambam. That Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. The Yoshiyahu HaMelech Tziva, the guns of Amakom Shabana Shlomo. And Yoshiyahu HaMelech came when it was time, when the walls were caving in, when the Beis HaMikdash was penetrated, when it was go time, Yoshiyahu HaMelech gave the instruction, the Tzivui, Tziva, from Lashon Mitzvah, lignos, to bury, to hide away, the Aron and the Luchos in that deep, hidden, concealed place underneath the Holy of Holies. Shenemar vayomer lelevim amevinim l'chol Yisrael akadoshim l'havaya tunuas Aron HaKodesh b'vayisish Rabbanu Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael. Ein lochem masa b'katef ata avdu as Hashem Elokeich. No longer shall this be borne on your shoulders. It's time to bury it deep away, lignos. It's time for concealment. Hiddenness, the ultimate tashmish kedusha, the ultimate tashmish, the aron with the luchos habris is nignaz. And it seems from the Rambam that this is an essential part of the process. It is a fundamental part of God's plan to reveal Himself in the world. This is part of the narrative of Geula. And an intrinsic expression of the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash is that Be'etzem, in essence, whereas on a surface level the temple ceases to function as a building, as a national center, there's an indestructible core called Ad Olam that's buried deep underneath the ground in a place of Matmonios, Amukos, Vakalkalos. That there's an indestructible core of Etzem. That even though there's a histalkus of the building, even though there's a departure of this physical structure, the essence of that structure remains. And now let's not learn this as halacha, but let's daven this as halicha. Because every single one of us, in our own way, in our own lives, experiences moments of destruction, of downfall, of hastara, of brokenness. Babylonians, Romans, Germans, Arabs, whatever, coming from the outside to penetrate our walls and to burn our heichal. And every single one of us, shvichas damim, Gilei Arayos, Nevod Azara, and the Senas Chinam are destroying the Beis HaMikdash from the inside out. The Kachaze. Be'esh Shabana Shlomo As HaBayis V'yada Shesofo Licharev. The level of Yasher Koach Shibarta. That built into the giving of the Torah is the smashing of the Luchos. And built into the building of the Beis HaMikdash is its destruction. And built into birth is death. And built into growth in Yiddishkeit is Nefilah. And built in to Chizik in Torah and Mitzvos and Tefillah is when we feel Shvach in Torah and Mitzvos. And built in to two steps forward in our Avodas Hashem are one, two, three, four steps back. Mountains and valleys. Gutters and stripes. Kachazeh. Beisha Bana Shlomo as Abayis v'yada shesof alicharev. He knew. He knew that it was going to happen because that's the way it's supposed to happen. Ahazir Agdolim alaktanim. To draw from the days when we're feeling great and strong and up and into it with the wind at our back and the sun at our face. And everything is geschmack and good. When Shlomo HaMelech was building the Beis HaMikdash, there was no days that the sun was shining like that in Klal Yisrael. Yichud HaShlim. From that place, Shlomo HaMelech was already building a Makom Lignos Ba'aron. Because there's an inevitability in life called death. We're turning this Torah into tefillah. We're begging God that we should internalize this. I'm asking Hashem that I should remember this in moments of weakness, and remember this in moments of embarrassment, to remember that this is the way Hashem made the world. And when Hashem told Avram Avinu, L'cha tenena ulzaracha ad olam, He was talking to you and I, and to every single Jew, that there is a Kedusha in Klal Yisrael, that there is a reality called the Jew, which is eternal, Kodesh HaKadoshim, the ultimate Kedusha, which is Nignas, and sometimes it's deep, deep, deep down inside, Lamata, Bamatmonios, Akalkalos, Amukos, deep, deep, deep down inside. But it's so deep there, like the Chiddush Arim explains, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avram, can never be penetrated by any enemy. No Avera, no mistake, no foe, outside or inside, can get to that indestructible core called Nitzchius, where in that place we're Mizera Avram Avinu. But there's a Kedushas Etzem of a Jew that no matter what can't change. And even though this Avoda of the Mikdash, of the Kohanim and the Leviim, Ein Lecha Masa B'Katef, right now this Avoda is not for you. Go do the Avoda in the way which is appropriate now. This Anhaga of Geula and Anhaga of Galus. This Shabbos and this Chol. This is when I'm feeling strong and when I'm feeling weak. But what is constant, what is constant, what's lo yamush le'olam, is that no matter what, we have Kedushas Yisrael. Tashmishei Kedusha are never nizrakin. Can never throw away a Jew. Can never throw ourselves away. Afilu cherev chada munach atzavar shal adam al yimna asatzim and arachamim. Can never give up on ourselves. Can never give up on illuminating darkness. Can never give up on another person. We can never give up on Hashem. Bial Rebbe, previously from Lugano. Well, previously before that, he was a Heusbacher by the Panovich Rav and a Chavrus of the Panovich Rav, ended up in Lugano and now in Tzfas, Yerushalayim in Tzfas. Sefer Mevaser Tov, he writes so beautifully. Inyan Ha'aron Shenignaz Vaisheni, regarding the concealment of the Aron and the Luchos Abris in the Second Temple, without going into all the nafkaminas of which Kalim were Nignaz and which were revealed again during the Second Temple, the Rebbe has a lot of sichos about this. Lubavitcher Rebbe has a number of sichos about this, regarding the Urim V'Tumim and regarding the Tzentzenes Haman and the Mata Aron, which is the Aron Abris. But regarding the Aron Shenignaz Beveis Bevayit Sheni Hainu Shekedusha, he explains Hainu Shekedusha Tzricha Lios Behester. The Biala Rebbe says it has to be that holiness is concealed. Shelo Yishlatu Ba'achitzonim Chas V'Shalom. So the outside forces, whatever they are, whether they're manifest in our enemies as actual human beings, or in spiritual forces that threaten to pull us away from that which is ikar and primary and real in our lives. Kedusha has to be bahastara. Lozos tzarech lachasot ha-primiyot shalom. They have to be concealed. Masha'in kein b'vayis rishon ha-yachol li'os bizgalos. And by rishon, all of the kelim were out in the open. And that's what it means, is that gam kim inin sha'omru b'yesar advarim sh'nignaz, regarding the time of Golos, when the Luchos were put into this place, Makom, Lignos Aaron Lamata, Bamatmonios, Amukos Bakalkalos, Hainu Shenignos Bekol Echad Miyisrael, hidden away, concealed inside of every Jew, Muvla Bapnimius Bekerev Ish, Velev Amok, concealed, hidden away in the heart of every single Jew, muvla baramach evarim shabo. Tocho ratzuf ava. Our entire body is suffused with the love of Hashem. The kedusha of nishmas Yisrael. There's nothing that we can do to change it, because it's always ad olam. Some of you may know Rabbi Ari Zev Ginsberg in the Five Towns, Chofetz Chaim Torah Center in the Five Towns. Last time I was in the States, after I heard this maisa, I went to go to the shul, the Davin Mincha. There's this Torah Center in Cedarhurst. He tells that he got a phone call from a friend whose son was serving in Sahel, serving in the army. He had a friend, someone from the community. His son went to learn in yeshiva, one of the Hesder yeshivas. And he stayed on. He learned for a couple years, and then with the guys in the yeshiva, joined the army. But he didn't go into a Hesder unit. He joined as a Chayal Bodeid, as a member in Machal, Mitnadev Chutz La'aretz. He ended up in whatever unit he ended up. He served for whatever it was, 16 months, and decided to sign on and serve again for another year or two. He wanted to live in Israel, and he felt he wanted to go all the way with it. He rose in the ranks until he became not a commander, but one level below commander of a pluga. And as Ashkacha would have it, his pluga was assigned to take part in the Churban of Gush Katif. Now, he tried, without judging, tried every which way to recuse himself, to not be a part of it. Wanted to not be a part of the assignment, to not be a part of the evacuation, or whatever they called it. But in the end, he felt that he had no choice. He had to be there. He had to be a part of it. Order is an order. State is a state. Without judging. He ended up on the perimeter, on the periphery, on the perimeter, securing the outside of the yeshuv of Eli Sinai, Tibonim Isikonim. And as part of the time that they were there securing the environment, Chever residents from Eli Sinai came out with drinks, food for the soldiers, Kruvim twisted together. And they're trying to convince them, don't do this, you don't want to do this. And the Rav of the Yishuv saw this soldier with a yarmulke on his head and really got to him. And they spoke and they spoke. But it was too late. The order was given. The mikdash was emptied of its kelim. Kids were taken out of the shuls, the families out of their homes. And this boy, who grew up in the five towns, was so beside himself, so broken how he ended up in that place, how his choices ended him up in that place. He was so shattered from it. He took out of his knapsack, he took out his tefillin bag, took out the sitter inside the tefillin bag, and right there, he started digging a hole. He wrote inside of the sitter, Menachem Av, Tavshin Samachay, wrote his name. He was burying, crying, almost like in a panic. The Rav of the Yishuv looked at him and said, what are you doing? He said, I know this is a mistake, this is a terrible mistake, but I know that this Churban is not going to be forever. I know that Klal Yisrael is going to come back to here and going to rebuild in this place. And I want that maybe it'll be my children or my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 years from now, that when they come to this place, they're digging foundations to build their homes, maybe they'll find the sitter. Maybe a Jew will unearth this sitter and know that there was Jewish life here. That there were Jews here, and that though they had to leave, their hearts were left behind. The Rav and the soldier embraced each other and cried together and buried the sitter in the ground. They got on the buses that were meant for them and left. A year later, this young man, this soldier in the engineer corps, received an order with his men to go back down south, back to Gush Katif. They got there late at night in the total darkness and had to set up their encampment, established their presence there. They're building a headquarters. Again, he was dealing with the perimeter, setting up a headquarters. So from there, soldiers would be able to go on missions into Gaza. They set up the spot there, and all around them were like debris. So the outside part of Gaza. And as they set up the tent, he lay down to go to sleep, because they had early morning the next morning. As he was saying Krish Malamita, he couldn't be where he was. He felt such an uneasiness and such a discomfort. He turned to his right and almost like a madman started digging. He started clawing at the earth. And the wheels of Hashkacha are such that literally in that place, and he's no idea what compelled him to do that, to dig there. In that place, he unearthed his sitter that he had buried not a year before. Sipuri Masis. He was in such shock, he began to shake, he couldn't breathe. The paramedics in the unit had to attend to him because he couldn't breathe. He was shaking uncontrollably. What's the Ribbono Shel Olam trying to tell me? What's this a sign? What's the premonition? What does it mean? So he called his father in America. And he tells his father this whole story, this unbelievable maisa. And he asks his father, well, what am I supposed to make of this? What does this mean? Is Hashem angry at me? Does this mean Hashem is forgiving me? Does this mean that we're coming back to Gush Katif? Does that mean I'll never be forgiven? I perpetuated the Churban. What is it? His father said, I have no idea. So he called Rabbi Ari Zev Ginsberg from the Chofetz Chaim Torah Center in Cedarhurst. He called his friend, who was a rabbi. Rabbi Ginsberg was on vacation. It was during the summer. He was on summer vacation. He got a call from his friend in a panic, describing this crazy maisa with his son. And he said, I'll be honest with you, I have no idea. I have no idea what, who knows what the Ribbono Shel Olam is trying to tell us. It's such a crazy, unlikely thing. I have no idea, but I'll tell you who might know. Chaim Knievsky, the Sar HaTorah, Chaim Knievsky might know. Closest thing we have to a Navi in our generation. Das Torah, Das Elyon. So Rav Ginsberg set up for this young man who was now on leave from his unit because he went into a panic attack and couldn't breathe. He was back in Yerushalayim, in his apartment. Rav Ginsberg from the Five Towns called Rav Chaim Knievsky's son and arranged that the next day this young man should be able to have an appointment with Rav Chaim Knievsky and get more than a bracha v'atzlacha. He goes to Rav Chaim Knievsky and starts explaining the scenario and explaining what happened. Chaim starts asking questions. He said, what exactly did you do during the time of the disengagement, during the time of the expulsion? What exactly did you do? Did you do anything to prevent it? Did you do anything to encourage it? He's trying to be medayik in what had happened. He can't find the tikkun unless you know exactly the details. You can't write a prescription unless you know, get a full checkup. He said, did you do something? Did you do anything to prevent the expulsion? To prevent the gzeira? So this young man started crying and he said, of course. I davened and I davened and I davened. I pleaded with Hashem constantly. I pleaded with my superiors. Anybody that I could speak to was begging to go against the directives of the government. And up until the last second, I was begging Hashem, saying Tehillim under my breath, that it wouldn't happen. And Reb Chaim asked him, and after the gzeira, after the expulsion, what did you do? So he said, what did I do? What could I have done? It was over. It was finished. Meles Breira, I took my sitter and buried it in the ground. So Chaim said, that's the problem. There's your mistake. You have to know that the koach atfila is such that no matter what seems to be happening around us, no matter how much a foregone conclusion we may think has already happened, we have no idea. We have no idea what a tefillah can do. Who knows what a Kadosh Baruch Hu would have done if you had continued to storm Shemayim with your tefillos. But you buried your sitter in the ground as if to say, it's over, I'm done, I can't do anymore. But by the Ribono Shel Olam, it's never over. Take your sitter, go back, and pour out your heart for Klal Yisrael and for Eretz HaKodesh. La Olam, Lo Yimna, Atzmo, Minarachim. There's no such thing as too late. Li Olam, Lo Yimna, Atzmo, Minarachim. Afilu Cherev Chada Muna Chada. Even if it's Motzei Tisha B'Av. Even if it's Motzei Tisha B'Av, it's not over. Because of the Zaracha, Tenena Ad Olam, the Beis HaMikdash is still standing. And even if I've destroyed everything in my life, and even if I've broken every aspect of my Yiddishkeit, and every element of every relationship, even if I've sabotaged myself in every way, even if Har Tzion Sheshomeim, even if the Beis HaMikdash is in a state of desolation, it's only part of the story. The Churban is only on the outside. Because the Aron is Nignaz, Lamata, Vematimonios, Amukos, Vakalkalos. And as long as we believe that, as long as we know that, as the Kliyakar says, as a steadfast, true principle in Ruchnius, that there's a place called Ad Olam, Magen Avraham, I'm always a descendant of Avraham Avinu, no matter what. There's an Etzem Kedusha in every Jew. No matter what, no matter how broken we may think things are, even if the bus is already pulling away out of Gush Katif, Lo Yimnes Atzmo Minarachem. It's not too late for us to have Rachmanos on ourselves. It's not too late for us to beseech Hashem to have Rachmanos on us. It's not too late for us to have Rachmanos on the Ribono Shel Olam. It's never too late for us to turn this thing around.